and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by the GMC Summer Event. Celebrate the next 100 years of engineering excellence at the GMC Summer Event. Check out the legendary 09 Sierra 1500 or the 8-passenger Acadia. Visit GMCDealer.com. Take delivery by 7/31/09. See dealer for details.
I like summer events.
Healthcare. If only there was someone in the thick of it to start the show off with us, that would be...
From the great state of Wisconsin, it's Representative Ron Kind.
Well,
or Kint, as they pronounce it in Germany.
But we're not in Germany.
But there are
good
lots
morning.
Of Germans in Wisconsin.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I don't think it's a good morning for health care reform thus far, though. Do you?
It is 3 yards in a cloud of dust. We're going to get this done this year. We are going to get health care done this year. It may not be before the August recess, but it's complicated. It's tough.
Well, Congressman, you'll have to explain to me. So, obviously, the breaking news is 6 bipartisan members of the Senate Finance Committee have reached an agreement on health care reform that... it does not include a public option, and it also drops the requirement for employers to provide their workers insurance. Based on what I've been hearing from my callers, what is the point of that?
Well, let me tell, first of all, I think we reached a significant breakthrough as far as the direction of health care reform. I led negotiations last week, which really gets to the systemic reform that we need in our health care system that will help bring costs down to make it more affordable for everyone, from those who currently have health care to those who don't, the 47 million that we want to get into the system.
Right.
And it's in the way we pay for health care. So instead of paying for procedures, we're going to start paying for performance. Instead of paying for the number of tests and care and treatment and imaging that goes on, we're going to pay for the quality of health care that's given. And most studies show that close to 30% of all health care costs that we spend every year, up to $680 billion, goes to care and treatment that does not improve patient care. And that's where the great waste is occurring in the system. And so before you add another 47 million uninsured into a very inefficient and very costly and rising cost system, we've got to do this reform. And we agreed to that last week, which I think is going to help pave the way to doing health care reform the right way as opposed to the wrong way.
Well, I mean, the compromise does include prevent an insurance company from denying coverage and would block higher premiums for patients with pre-existing conditions. But, you know, Congressman, I don't mean to start the show with a fight, but, you know, I think you've seen the polls that 70-something percent of the American people want this to include a public option.
Right.
You voted against the public option, correct?
No. I voted against a bill coming out of Ways and Means that didn't reform the way we pay for health care, that locked in the current fee-for-service system. And there's a reason why America is spending 2 to 3 times as much per capita in health care spending every year compared to any other country in the world, and yet we rank 37th in health care outcomes. It's because we're wasting a lot of money on care and tests and treatment. That doesn't work. And that's what we have to change in order to afford a public option. I've been in favor of a public option.
You are.
I think there
okay.
should be competition in this national exchange that we're occurring in that. But in order to afford a public option or anything else in the health care system, we really do have to reform the way we pay for health care today.
Well, I'm sure you heard, Congressman, this analysis from the nonpartisan budget, Congressional Budget Office.
Yes.
Just said that a government insurance plan could coexist with private insurers without driving them out of business, according to their analysis. So, you know, obviously this compromise is something that makes a lot of people nervous that we are not going to get a public plan.
Stephanie, this is more about a philosophical fight than actual facts on the ground. And the Congressional Budget Office said that, listen, if we have a system of universal health care with an employer mandate, there will be more people signing up for their employer-sponsored health plans than dropping out to enter the exchange. This is what the Congressional Budget Office already analyzed. And they also said if we set up this national exchange, it will be roughly...
You're talking about the co-op, right?
No, I'm talking about the national purchasing pool, a national exchange that's in the bill right now where public public option is one of the options that people can choose in the exchange.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if we set up this exchange, 30 million, a little more than 30 million people would go into it. They'd have a menu of health plan options to choose from. Of that 30 million, roughly 9 million would probably choose the public option over the next 10 years. So this whole idea that creating a public option is going to lead to this drove of people flooding into a public option and leading to a single-payer system just does not stand up to the scrutiny of the Congressional Budget Office, who is very strict in their scores, very strict mm-hmm. in their analysis, and it just belies the argument that too many Republicans have been perpetrating out there, that public option is just going to lead to this army of people in the
right.
country going into a government-run health plan, squeezing everything else out.
Right. Well, I mean, the only thing, and again, I know this isn't done yet, but this is, you know, the compromise that's being talked about and all of that. It makes me nervous when I hear that the Chamber of Commerce, which is normally aligned with Republicans, and the drug company lobbying group, Pharma, are cheering this.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like good news to me.
Well, it's to be predicted, though, because Chamber and obviously Pharma have adamantly opposed the public option, as has all the private insurance companies throughout the country. They don't want to see a public option because they don't want to have to compete on a level playing field. And that's what we're really talking about. By allowing a public option in the exchange, and it comes down to people's choice. I mean, whether mm-hmm. Republicans like it or not, a lot of people in this country would just like the choice of being able to go into a public plan as opposed to a for-profit health insurance company's plan. And why would we want to deny people that choice as long as they have to compete on a level playing field? And the way we've structured it, public option would be given no special benefits, no special advantages over a private insurance plan, but they will have to compete on price.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people
mm-hmm.
should be allowed that choice of what health plan makes sense for them and what they feel
right.
most comfortable in.
Congressman, the thing I hear most is people want real health reform and not something watered down by Republicans who have proved
right.
over and over again that they're not interested in
yeah.
working with us. They're interested in defeating the president politically. I mean, what do you do when the breaking news this morning is Hawaii again declares Obama birth certificate real? And you have fellow members of the House that are actually spending their time working on resolutions.
Listen, we had this is earth-shattering, too, but we had a resolution on the floor yesterday about Hawaii's 50th anniversary
yes.
as a state. In it was a clause that also stated that the 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama, was born
yes.
in Hawaii. All the Republicans supported that. So that should take that issue off the table now that they voted.
I understand our good friend, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, though, tried to block
yeah.
the resolution.
Yes.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, well, what's the headline of the day for Michelle?
Do you just, I was going to say, do you just, anytime she stands up, just go, oh, boy.
There are a lot
before
of
she even speaks.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of eyes that roll. But listen, you know,
right.
the important thing, and the president was right last week, there are really two health plan options on the table right now. The one that we're trying to refine and improve and get to the in front of Congress soon, and the other one is the status quo. And we know what the status quo already brings. It brings 14,000 more Americans losing health care coverage every single day. Double-digit premium increases for those who have it over the next
right.
10 years.
But are you confident we really are going to get meaningful reform that includes a meaningful public option? I hear a lot about this, the co-op idea that is not
right.
the same as a,
right.
as a true public option.
Well, listen, I'm in the House, not the Senate. It's really the dynamics in the Senate that's driving the whole public
right.
option debate right now. And I think over the August recess, if people feel strongly, they got to get in touch with their senators and
yep.
say, listen, we want this choice. And the way the Congressional Budget Office is showing it, there is a level playing field that won't drive people into a public option, but it should be available for people to choose from.
Right. Congressman, I apologize. I realize you are in the House. You were just the first one on the phone this morning I could
that's
rake
right.
over the coals
no,
and
okay.
take my frustrations
I'm
out on. you took a break from angry constituents calling your office to have an angry talk show host call your office.
Well, we've been up for 3 hours already and having meetings on health care reform, so we're
Good.
Treating this seriously. We're
Good.
Trying to get the work done as quickly as possible, and if not this week, we're going to pass health care reform this fall.
All right. Congressman Ron Kind from the great state of Wisconsin, thanks for taking time for us this
my
morning.
My pleasure.
All right. There he
All
goes.
Right.
All right. He had the misfortune to be scheduled at the top of the show.
Yes, he did. Well, that was also the third time we'd rescheduled him.
Yeah.
He kept flaking out on us.
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe with
we
good
were,
reason.
Maybe he wished he'd rethought that again.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, boy. I'd rather talk to Michelle Bachmann than this crazy bitch.
yeah, I don't. What all y'all think about this? I just don't trust him. I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. I know it's not done, but this is not,
the Blue Dogs are going to torpedo it.
You know how I feel about it. I'm just glad we're not talking about racial politics.
Well, that's because you're racist. All right. Oh, I kid. Come on.
Hey, they're going to have a beer together. Case closed.
Okay, that's it. That's all we're going to talk about today.
No more profiling. It's done.
Jim, anything that's cheered by the Chamber of Commerce and Pharma right away makes me the hair stand up on the back of my neck there. I don't know why, not a really big Nancy Pelosi fan this morning. When she was asked whether the House would complete the bill before, you know, the end of the week.
Right.
She said, we're on schedule to do it now or do it whenever.
Whatever.
That was okay. Palin-esque.
Wow.
Yeah, that's commitment.
Yeah,
that's...
got there and get it done sometime, whenever.
I'm sure that people losing their health insurance and possibly dying from lack of health insurance, I'm sure that will cheer them this morning that whenever is a good time frame for them. Is whenever good for you?
Sure. I saw this morning that Nancy Pelosi is proposing 10% tax on Botox.
Oh, come on.
Yes,
now.
I'm serious. Yeah. What? What'd I say?
Dan, we'll leave the jokes to the right-wing shows.
Okay.
All right. Dan, I hear she had a look of shock surprise on her face.
Oh, my God.
Dan in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Dan.
Stephanie, I feel like I'm living in Cuckoo Bananas world. It's fine for a representative kind to talk about the way that health insurance is paid for, but the problem that I have is I don't want my health insurance premiums paying for commercials and advertising.
Yeah, the other statement that didn't inspire confidence in me, Dan, was Max Baucus saying, we're going to get an agreement here.
I know.
The group of six really wants to get to yes. Yeah, well, I would like to get to where you would say to insurance company money, and then I might feel better about what your compromise or agreement's going to be.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
I work in the social services world, and I'm in the position of setting up seniors on Medicare and Part D programs. And I'll tell you, that is a disaster. Medicare Part D is a debacle, and we're looking at the same thing coming down the road. This is going to be a disaster. Without a public plan, without a public option, this is going to be a disaster, and it's got me terrified.
Yeah, well, that's why, you know, this started with Harry Reid, like, oh, well, we want to have time to address Republicans' concerns, and so it's like, what? They're concerned.
We want to make sure the Republicans are happy. Our first goal. Is everything okay over there?
Yeah, they're concerned with you dying politically. That's what they're concerned with. I'm glad you're stopping to address that concern. Okay. So after weeks of secretive talks, the breaking news this morning, a bipartisan group in the Senate edged closer to a health care compromise that omits two key Democratic priorities. But incorporates provisions to slow the explosive rise in medical costs. So I guess we're being held hostage by Blue Dogs, essentially. So that's the state of it today. We will get into more of the details of that and what that means.
The Republican plan is to kill off all the sick people. That seems to be the plan.
Oh, for God's sake, just die!
20 minutes after the hour, right back with all that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Huh. That was kind of cool.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. George and Tempe on healthcare. Hi, George.
You know, refresh my memory. Why is it you change your theme music?
We're going back to we're not going to take it anymore.
I think so. You know, I think we need to rephrase this as dog lovers, you and I. We need to reframe the phrase blue dog Democrats. It's so demeaning. We need to call them blue elephants, which is what they really are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so sick and tired of them. You know, I've been a Democrat my whole life, but I've always been way left of the Democratic Party. And today I'm actually going down and changing my representative. I'm not a Democrat anymore. I can't be part of this. This is, you know, there's one thing I can respect about the Republicans. They don't assemble in a circular firing squad when they have an issue that they've got.
No, they stand in a united wall of wrong continually.
Yeah, but at least they're united. My God, I cannot believe this. This is just so preposterous. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
So I'm tired.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who are changing to independent. They don't want to be Democrats anymore.
Well, I mean, again, this isn't done yet. And you know, this is why, you know, Congressman Kine was even saying, stay on the phone, stay, you know. I don't know.
Nothing can be more important than calling and writing your senators and your congressperson.
Telling them they're not going to get your vote if they don't.
Yeah.
That's right.
Do something.
Yeah.
The right thing, specifically.
Yeah. When the Chamber of Commerce, normally a close ally of Republicans, cheers this, in a letter to committee leaders, the business group called for the panel to, quote, act promptly, preferably before the Senate's scheduled vacation before the end of next week. When they want them to do this compromise quickly, so right away, that's makes me a little, little hinky there.
Don't give them a chance to look at it. Just go, shove it down their throats, quick.
Just like the Patriot Act.
That's the thing. I'm going to need to have someone explain this to me again. What? The difference. Any legislation that emerges from the talks is expected to provide for a nonprofit cooperative to sell insurance in competition with private industry rather than giving the federal government a role in the marketplace.
Right.
Robert Gibbs said during the day, I don't believe that the president has come down one versus the other in terms of denoting co-ops equal or above the public option. From my understanding of it, really the best plan would have been single payer.
Absolutely.
That got taken off the table.
Right.
Then a true public option would have been the best plan. And from what I've heard, at least people that I think that do know what they're talking about, like Howard Dean, that the co-ops, it's not going to work.
It's run by the private insurance company. So it would really just be status quo if we got these co-ops.
Mm-hmm. Olympia Snow confirmed that co-ops are the preferred approach right
now. Oh, my God.
And, you know,
it's all about health insurance lobbying money.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They do not want the competition.
And meanwhile, here we go again. Not only do we have, 70-something percent of Americans support the idea of a public option, you think that's politically safe enough. So now, as I mentioned to the congressman, Congressional Budget Office just came out with figures. This is the bipartisan budget experts that the government health insurance plan can exist without driving the private insurers out of business.
Right.
Although it should
drive them out of business.
Right.
But.
Well, that's their main charge. It's going to be a federal takeover, blah, blah, blah.
You don't want to know how it works in Germany?
Here's the thing. You remember this Lewin group? This is right-wing outfit. So they're the ones that they were using this like a legitimate group. They're saying there's going to be 100 million people are going to sign up for the public plan.
The Lewin group says, the Lewin group.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, the CBO estimates only 11 to 12 million people would sign up for the public plan.
Most people are, rather happy with their current insurance.
Is a representative of the insurance company.
Yep.
Yes, thank you. Exactly. Yeah, who is it? Oh, I think Olbermann showed a montage of all these Republicans citing the Lewin group. The Lewin group says.
If they were an independent organization.
And they're with, and this would be regarding.
And they represent this, I forget what they're called, but there's a group of insurance groups that they had to pay back a huge sum of them. I don't remember exactly what they
were. It's like when, there's a study that fried chicken is the best food for you ever done by Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yes.
Oh, well then.
Okay then. Unbiased source.
Yes. 28 minutes after the hour, right back with more on the healthcare debate on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's a very sweet, very dumb kid.
Wait.
Kid?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Jay in Detroit on healthcare. Hey, Jay.
Stephanie.
Hello, sir.
These Democrats are going to compromise themselves right out of 2010 and this supermajority they think they don't know how to exercise if they don't get on the ball and take care of business. You know, I work in a medical office, and I have always supported the concept of single payer. And then when they tell me they arrest the people in the meeting that are for single payer, and then that's off the table. Then we got the public option. Obama's got says he takes all this influence from FDR and these other Democrats. He needs to take a page from Lyndon Johnson. okay, and
right.
pull them in there, pull the Blue Dogs in there and say, look, if you don't get off the ball, you're going to get no money from the Democratic Party come 2010,
yeah.
and I'm going to run somebody more progressive in your position, and if they win or lose, so be it, but you are not going to scuttle everything that I have tried to achieve here because because you're weak, and he needs to tell Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi mm-hmm. the same damn thing
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
they think they're slick.
Yeah, well, you know, here's the thing. I may be, as the soundbite just said, the dumbest girl in class. However, it seems to me when you get voted in a landslide and the majority is swept into office and 70-something percent of the American people wants, you know, a significant public option in health care and you don't do it, you know.
I'm drowning in paperwork in this medical office, and it's got nothing to do with anything concerning the health of the patients. I'm pushing paper every day, and I'm sick of it, and I want a pub. I want single payer,
yeah.
you know, and I'm almost ready to, I mean, I've always said street protest gets their attention.
Yep.
You know, and if we start raising money for progressive Democrats
yeah.
to run against the Blue Dogs,
well, you know, and Jay, this is what
won't it?
You know. Look, Ed Schultz is no screaming liberal, you know, but he's been saying this from day one. He goes around the country in all these town halls. People don't just say public option; they say single payer.
Right.
They want single payer.
Right.
You know, and
you know what? There's too much money going into D.C. from the insurance companies. Single payer will never happen.
By the way, I'll be doing the Ed Schultz show on Thursday on MSNBC.
Again?
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Johnson knew how to knock heads together and get things done.
Yeah.
Even before he was president.
There is such a thing as being too compromising, too bipartisan.
You think?
Isn't it, Harry Reid?
We are committed to getting this right, not just getting it done by an arbitrary deadline.
We're committed to doing what the right wing wants to do.
Yeah, exactly. We're getting it right as in right wing,
right,
apparently.
I mean.
Not right as in single payer, as the American people want, but yeah.
yeah. Oh. We're committed to do what our masters in the insurance industry tell us to do, and we will do it eventually.
Senator Ben Nelson would look over there. The public option isn't
Bill
all
Nelson.
That. Bill Nelson, yeah.
All the flap going on is public option or no public option. And that's only one minute part.
Yes.
This thing is so complicated, there are other things that are
yes.
major
yes.
Stumbling blocks.
Yes, you're too stupid to understand, America. Look over there. Don't look away from the shiny public option. It's not that important. It's a teeny tiny part of the whole thing. Okay. Representative Jerry Conley, Democrat of Virginia.
Whom we've had on the show.
Mm-hmm.
When you run for Congress on some of these big issues, you want to make sure you get it right. And that's really where we are right now. We want to make sure we get it right.
Uh-huh. Get it right according to whom? According to the insurance company?
According to Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jackie in North Dakota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Jack.
Hi, Steph.
Hey.
This is my first time calling a talk show host, and I can think of no better people to call.
Oh, that's so sad for you, but all right.
Anyway, I am from North Dakota, and I'm just shaking. I'm so angry. I read the Huffington Post this morning.
Oh, you're so mad you put your phone down your pants, for God's sakes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, there you are.
Well, anyway, I was always for single payer, but if we can't have that, then a public option. I've been writing Conrad. I've phoned. I've yelled. Nothing seems to do any good with these people. Frankly, I think until we get some type of campaign finance
yes.
reform, it's useless. We don't have democracy. We have corporocracy. I don't know. They're all so much in the pay of these.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I
don't know what to do.
Did you see there may be some bad news for Kent Conrad along with Chris Dodd? Despite,
yes, I did.
Yeah, despite their denials, apparently they were told from the start they were getting VIP mortgage discounts from
yes,
Countrywide.
Unfortunately, living in North Dakota, it's like you have a choice of a Republican or Conrad. And I don't see the difference, but I'm thinking about moving to Minnesota.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Just right over the state line there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. I live in Fargo, so.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we should say that I don't know how this is going to come out, but the guy that worked in Countrywide's VIP section told congressional investigators that the two senators were made aware that, basically, you know, it's you know who you are when you're coming in, that this mm-hmm. is a VIP, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It contradicts their stories, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You could walk to Moorhead, probably.
Yeah, well, yeah, from Fargo you could walk to Moorhead, Minnesota.
You
yeah.
don't even need a U-Haul.
No. And you know what sucks is that we've had Ken Conrad on the show, and he's been a great guest and a great person.
Yeah.
However, he is just so bloody wrong on this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Let's go to Kenny in Orange County. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Ken. Hello.
Did hello.
I? Hello. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Kenny.
Yes.
Am I on the air?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
You know, this whole healthcare debate, in my opinion, is a waste of time. We need to go to the source of the problem, and that's lobbying, and there needs to be lobby reform. Yep. I know it's in the Constitution. The Constitution needs to be amended, because as long as there's people behind this influencing people with money, nothing's going to happen in Washington. We need to get a march on K Street and take care of this problem once and for all, because mm-hmm. it's ridiculous that people – I've called my representative, I've called my senators, and they say, well, you know, you can lobby too. Yeah, well, I can lobby, but I don't have $167 million to influence anybody. They just dismiss me. I'm just this voice for, you know, mm-hmm. there's no, I'm nobody, you
right.
know? So,
yep. You're not nobody to us, Kenny, but we are hanging up on you well, now. We killed Kenny.
Oh, stop
they
it.
Kill Kenny.
Oh, you know what? Nothing is going to be done about lobby reform either, because the people who are in charge of lobbying reform get all the money
yes.
from the lobbyists.
We need
so, isn't it ironic?
We need God. Jesus to come down and throw the moneylenders out of
the temple.
You know what? Yeah. I'm all for that.
Richard in Minneapolis. Hey, Rich.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. It should be pretty evident. The Democratic Party has pretty much sold out the populace. I'm a liberal. I'm not a registered Democrat, but I voted on the left ticket all the way through this last time.
Mm-hmm.
But think about this. All of a sudden, all these people who are telling us we're going to get single payer and we're going to get health reform, all of a sudden they're all bailing out, whether they're blue dogs or not. And my consideration is, and I wonder, my own subjective opinion, aren't these I find it strange, and maybe the possibility that all this lobbying money is going to the Democratic Party instead of these individuals. And you can go to sites such as progressivedemocrat.org, and you can see how much money that these lobbyists have been paying to every individual representative and congressman. It's just we've been sold out.
Yeah.
Yes, we have.
Yep. I hear you. Let's go to Jake in Eureka. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Jake.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, these the Blue Dog Democrats, or should I say Blue Cross Democrats, mm-hmm. everyone already knows they're taking large amounts of corporate campaign cash from the health insurance industry, but what some people don't realize is they're taking equal amounts of cash from labor unions. And if people want to put pressure on the Blue Dogs, if you belong to a union, contact your union leadership and tell them you want all campaign contributions mm-hmm. cut off to the Blue Dogs mm-hmm. until they come out
mm-hmm.
and support health care reform.
Mm-hmm. Yep, good idea, Jake.
That is a very good idea.
You're the smartest boy in class. Okay.
Yeah, not all of us belong to unions, though.
Yeah, well,
I belong to three.
But a lot of people do, and that's a
know,
good point, you
but,
know.
But I can't
and
do
like,
anything.
And you made the point earlier, Chris, like, what difference does it make how much money you get from an insurance company if people don't vote for you? I mean, I don't care how much money you get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people are angry enough and as angry as we're hearing that they are, you know, you're still going to get voted out of office.
Yeah, but if you live in a Blue Dog district, who are you going to vote for? The Democrat or
Ghostbusters?
The only other option is the Republican. And they'd actually be far worse
than
a Blue Dog Democrat.
Yeah, the Republicans mm-hmm. are far worse. That's the problem.
Yep.
All right, 42.
It's just so frustrating.
42 minutes after the
Only.
Hour. I don't know. Is some reform better than none? We'll answer that when we get back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Buddy in Columbus on healthcare. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, honey. Go ahead.
one thing, and you guys touched on it before. The word co-op in this case equals the money still goes to insurance
right.
companies.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more, nothing less. You know, and Max, and changed the name Max to Max, they bought my office.
Okay. Representative Jerry Conley, Democrat of Virginia.
I think it's very important to remember that a lot of suburban districts, such as mine, switched and supported both President Obama and Democrats in Congress. And I think it's very important that the message we send to those districts not be a negative one, that we're taking into account their concerns.
You know what? Uh-huh. As much as I hate that, I do see his point. Because Jerry Connolly does come from quite a Republican suburban district of, you know, of Virginia.
This issue is too important.
I know. I'm just talking about the political reality of the situation. I do see his point.
Yeah, but you know, when you mentioned 70-something percent of the American people, that's a bipartisan number. That's not 70% of Democrats want a public option.
I know.
Okay, let's go. See, now I'm just arguing with you out of habit, even though you agree with me. Chad.
No, you're not.
What did I do to deserve this?
You annoyed me on the Gates issue, and now I'll just take it out on you for everything.
Hell of a week I'm having.
Chad in Idaho. Yeah, hey, Chad.
I can't believe that the Democrats have a chance for historical change and to put a lock on the political landscape, and they're going to blow it. I mean, and you know the Republicans are going to give themselves a standing ovation on the Senate floor like they did to Vitter or something for defeating this bill. This is ridiculous.
Yep, absolutely. The boner says we're going to walk the plank on nationalized health care, if only.
Democrat leaders are going to walk their members down the plank on nationalizing our health care system here in this country and require them to vote on a massive new tax increase on small businesses.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't nationalize health care.
And it would benefit
small businesses.
Right.
Because they'd be able to get insurance only available now to really large companies.
Everything he said was a lie. Yeah.
Exactly. And you know what? They do that in the most subtle way possible. It is not going to nationalize health care.
Jim still had a little tint of naivete in his voice. About John Boner. Everything he said is a lie.
Well, I expected it to be mostly lies, but literally every word was a lie.
Yes.
Hello,
even even articles like The.
I love that cynic Jim Ward can still be surprised by Republican lies. All right. Senator Mitch McKinless of Kentucky.
Simply put, these bills are moving in the wrong direction and would make the problems in our health care system even worse than they are today. So it's clear that we need to hit the restart button.
Yes, and get to single payer. I think we do need to hit the reset button.
It would make me lose my other lip if I nationalized health care the way the commiecrats want to do it.
The commiecrats?
Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Tim.
Good morning. You know, I look at it this way. We went ahead after really no gay agendas have been passed. Nothing really like helped us get federal employee partner benefits for our health care or anything like that, or same-sex marriage passed, or any type of really gay progressive issues that have not been being passed. We didn't go to a single DNC event to give them money. So I think instead of my representative, Tammy Baldwin, and Herb Cole, don't vote on any type of public option, they're not going to receive a single dollar, and I think most of Americans should do that. Just stop giving them money.
I know. I wouldn't. You know what? Exactly. I wouldn't give up our power just yet. Susan in Seattle isn't. Hello, Susan.
Hi.
Hi.
I've already called both of my senators today, and I've called Max Baucus's office where I had to be put on hold. I think everybody, this is our network moment. We have to make it clear that this is the biggest thing that we, you know, what's the point of voting for Democrats? Mm-hmm. And I heard someone say before, well, that means, you know, you can't vote for Republicans. Well, we can vote for other people in primaries, and we can vote for, or we cannot vote, and we'll certainly put our hands in our pockets when it comes to giving them money. And I think that even though maybe they don't care, I told Senator Baucus's office, how can the senator look at himself in the mirror in the morning? And we have to call the president. We have to let him know that he can't cave on this because he caves on everything.
Mm-hmm. You heard, Susan. It's your network moment, everybody.
I want full newspaper coverage. I want magazine stories. I want books. I want films. Mm-hmm. I want TV. I want radio. I want us on the air 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. This is our moment.
I was looking for the mad as hell and not going to take it anymore network moment. But that network moment is fine, too.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window
open it.
Yes.
And stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, both of them.
Cindy, do both. Cindy in Seattle.
Hi, it's Cindy in Seattle. Well, Stephanie, it's good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I just thought I'd say I'm moving right on from writing and emailing to the fact that tomorrow I have a fasting blood test, so I will have had no coffee and nothing to eat for 12 hours.
Talk about low blood sugar.
To have that done, I'm stopping by Maria Cantwell's local office and explaining to her in terms that I hope they can all understand. Maybe we've just been too nice. We need to cut the coffee and stop by their office.
Yeah, everyone needs to get good and cranky.
And then go.
I say we go on a nationwide fast to get good and cranky and then show up and knock on the door of your senator's office.
Yeah, that way we would have low blood sugar and we'd be mixing red wine with our dog's painkillers.
Exactly. There's a good suggestion. Mix red wine with your dog's painkillers and go to your representative's office. Tell them what for.
Oh, God.
All right. Why do we even care what Senator Jim DeMint thinks when he basically just has admitted that he wants the president to fail politically? That's really all this is about.
I think the impasse is more caused by the American people.
Oh!
These Democrats are going home and they're hearing what I'm hearing, and that's Barack Obama, keep your hands off my health care.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Computer says no.
Yeah, they're hearing the opposite, you tool. Okay. I see. Oh, it's really your fault, American people. It's you. You see, you stupid boobs. That's why you're not going to get health care.
I hate people.
I hate everyone. We used to be the show of happy, clappy liberalism. Now we're the I hate everyone show.
Yeah, yeah.
Charles Krauthammer on the Britt Baer Show.
He ran as a centrist. He's governing as a leftist.
What?
Leftism in America doesn't work.
He didn't
and
really
that's
run
what he's
as
discovering.
A centrist.
He ran as center-left. He was not scaring anybody. He never announced he was going to revolutionize health care, revolutionize energy, and spend a stimulus in the first month or so of $1 trillion on nothing.
What the hell is he talking about?
Again, everything he said was wrong.
Yes.
Yes. Hello, he lied. Samantha in Palm Springs, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Sam.
Good morning.
Hi.
I had cancer 6.5 years ago, and I was in a financial situation that my doctor and I were very dear friends, sat down and said, how much will this cost me through my insurance? How much would it cost me if I paid cash? Going through your insurance company, they require that you do test after test after test whether you need it or not.
Mm-hmm.
They will only accept certain types of, they require that you have chemotherapy. They require that you have radiation. They would have killed me immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It cost me well over $250,000 if I had gone through insurance.
Yep, and you're an American. You should be able to choose which insurance company kills you.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to die in Blue Cross's hands. I'd rather die in somebody who's got a little bit more... how would you say, sophistication, you know,
yes.
The upper echelon of everything?
Yeah.
It cost me $81,000.
Oh,
I'm 6.5 years cancer-free. It's not going to come back. I didn't do chemo. I didn't do radiation. I took alternative measures.
Huh.
And I'm fine.
Hmm.
And,
good for you.
You know, it's come down to the point where when I paid cash, the doctors had the cash. The labs had the cash. The hospital had the cash.
Mm-hmm.
They were telling me that insurance companies used to pay in a very expedient manner. Now they're lucky if they get a payment every 120 days at the soonest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you come in and you say you're going to pay cash, they will do everything in their power to absolutely discount you down to the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a position where you've got to go to the doctor, you know your insurance is going to, excuse me, screw you over.
Wow.
Talk to your doctor. Talk to the people in the office. They will work with you.
Huh. What has healthcare come to, Samantha, when we have to be like a Three Stooges episode and show up with a giant bag with a money sign on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
If you don't walk in with, you know, the Three Stooges, and or if you're not a celebrity's child,
right,
or a celebrity yourself, or somebody that might have some money or think, oh, my gosh, they're in a position where they can go to the media, forget it. Here we put the Democrats in thinking and praying to the Lord that we were going to have change. But you know, whether you like the Republicans or not, they were at least banding together and putting things through, making law, whether we like them or not.
Yep, I got it, honey. Okay, yep, there we are. Healthcare in America. I have a giant bag with a dollar sign on it.
I just put a link up.
Doctor, we'll see you now.
I just put a link up in the live blog of where you can find your senators and congressmen, and you can write and call them. So click on that link.
And more exciting news on that front when we come back the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by the GMC Summer Event. Celebrate the next 100 years of engineering excellence at the GMC Summer Event. Check out the legendary 09 Sierra 1500 or the 8-passenger Acadia. Visit GMDDealer.com. Take delivery by 7:31:09. See dealer for details. Yay, GM. Okay, all right, some exciting news on health care, thank God.
Yes, Senators Durbin, Leahy, and Schumer have put together a group called Citizens for a Public Option. They are gathering signatures from ordinary citizens such as yourself to leave a public option in the health care reform bill.
Durbin, Leahy, and Schumer,
yes.
Oh my.
Yes. Don't lose the will to live, even though some Democrats are being weenies on
health care. Right. So go to citizensforapublicoption.com and put your name on the list and sign
good
it.
Good idea.
Yes.
All right,
and,
then.
And in just a little bit, I'll have a link up for it at StephanieMiller.com. CitizensForPublicOption.com.
Cool.
Don't let people like Captain Phone Sex, Bill O'Reilly, dissuade you.
The problem is his leadership. Mm. Again, he couldn't explain the complicated health care deal. Mr. Obama's asking us, the American taxpayer, to invest trillions of taxpayer dollars into a new big government program that's murky. He can't explain it.
Ah, that's what it is, Jim. It's the murkiness. That's why about 75% of the American people want a
public
option.
Plan.
They're pretty clear about that. They want as much murk as possible.
More murk. More murk, please.
Okay. Thank God the racial politics that has been brought up by the Professor Gates controversy can be cleared up by a clear-thinking, clear-talking Brit Hume, who we haven't heard from in some time. Brit Hume. On the
People feel Barack Obama is not the man they elected. He was, in a sense, thought to be postpartisan, but he has not really been postpartisan. And he was thought to be post-racial, despite the fact that he's the first African-American ever elected to that high office. And yet he wades, facts ungathered, into this racially charged episode up in Boston and comes down on the side of a black man calling a white policeman a racist, a charge that seems on the face of it now palpably to be false.
Really?
I think that probably further fed the impression that, wait a minute, is this the guy we thought he was?
People are wondering if he's the guy they thought he was, but not for that reason.
Yeah.
Because he seems to be caving to the insurance companies.
Actually,
along
with the facts of the Gates case are making him more and more right every day. Isn't that right, Britt?
Stan, not all journalists are bad. You like Brit Hume, don't you?
You know damn well I like Brit Hume.
And now the most riveting 2 minutes in television.
And
Okay. Thank you, Britt. Thanks for checking in for us. Okay. All right. Meanwhile, Robert Gibbs on becoming the biggest segment of the Republican Party, the birthers.
Oh, Lord.
If I had some DNA, it wouldn't assuage those that don't believe he was born here. But I have news for them and for all of us. The president was born in Honolulu, Hawaii.
What?
The 50th state of the greatest country on the face of the earth. He's a citizen.
All right. That story just gets betterer and betterer. We'll get to more of the birther story as we continue. But Sarah Palin is bye-bye. Wow. But not without a lot more word salad, including what was the thing Hollywood needs to know that we eat, therefore we hunt?
strong hand can attain our destiny.
What?
Under the midnight sun, and exerting power to steadfastly soaring through nature's finest show. And bring everyone to the table. They know. We eat, therefore we hunt. Merciless, hell-bent, we eat, therefore we hunt. Todd and I, and Track, Bristol, Trip,
Twig,
Willow, Piper, Trig, I think I got them all. We will forever be so grateful for the honor of our lifetime to have served you.
Terrible hot dogs.
And bring everyone to the table.
I just grabbed a chunk of moose meat.
We eat, therefore we hunt. They know. We eat, therefore we hunt.
Wow,
that was really cool. It was like Ken Nordine word jazz, but with some crazy...
She's kind of like a scat singer of sorts. Yeah,
it was kind of a tone poem, you will.
Yes. Okay.
Kind of a redneck haiku.
AJ writes about the president, the cop, and the professor. It's a new sitcom. Steph, in my role as the official... Thank you. In my role as the official tragically Caucasian husband of a beautiful African-American physician with crushing student loan debt, proud brother of a lesbian brother-in-law of a Teamster, son of a mother with breast cancer in need of national health care to stave off bankruptcy, Iraq and Afghanistan veteran paratrooper of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow.
I have often found myself in the position of being a very confused white male who was being yelled at and having his intelligence questioned by a highly educated African-American while in said African-American's home. That would be his lovely wife.
Yes.
The position, I guess. The president has handled this one correctly. In my experience, the situation is best handled by the sharing of adult beverages. I find margaritas to be most effective. Beer is probably a better choice in this situation. I personally think this is more about Harvard eggheads against blue-collar townies more than race. Anyone who saw Good Will Hunting knows how they roll there.
Blue-collar townies.
By the way, can you get your important Congress friends to get Rush Limbaugh off Armed Forces Radio? He's worse than Tokyo Rose. Perhaps we could get some Stephanie Miller on in his place. Sure. You could demoralize the Taliban and Al-Qaeda with your fart jokes. At the very least, how about you sacrifice a couple of boxes of wine for free StephCast for all GIs downrange? Oh!
Compute that, yeah.
Why, I would be happy to do that. Yeah, something tells me Al-Qaeda wouldn't like the woman telling the fart jokes on the radio.
Well, yeah, there is that.
All right. Here's my favorite study in the drunk stack, because God knows with the state of health care reform, we all need to start drinking.
Yes.
Jim, this is actually, I think this is more squeezy stack for you and the Department of No Sherlock. Mm. Red wine increases women's sexual desire, it turns out. Apparently they did a study on this.
Yeah. You have some red wine right over there, Stephanie. Why don't you test it out?
Let's
test it out.
I have a basket of morning wood.
Me too. But it's not a Magnum.
It's from our winery up in San Francisco that we love.
That's right.
All right. And I drank a lot of it before I collapsed in my sleep train bed. With my hair and makeup magically done by Gina Hahn.
Before you jump into your
hair salon.
GM car.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
After you slipped off the red wine.
A glass or two of red wine may increase a woman's libido, a scientific study has found.
Hmm.
You know what this is. It's an excuse for pervs to do a study and get women drunk. That's all I'm saying. Researchers concluded that levels of sexual desire were higher in women who were moderate drinkers of red wine than in their counterparts who preferred
You said counterfarts, Stephanie.
I'm drunk on morning wood. One theory put forward by the team of Italian doctors.
Hey, try some more of this Vallipocella, eh?
Oh.
A little more. A little
who carried
more.
Out the study.
I'll bet you it was Berlusconi himself.
That's right. Yeah.
Silvio Berlusconi.
Yeah, he did my own study.
One theory is that the chemical compounds found in red wine may improve sexual functioning by increasing blood flow to key areas of the body.
Si, yeah, chiaro.
The researchers said... researchers in air quotes.
Yeah.
While this finding needs to be interpreted with some caution, it nevertheless suggests a potential relationship between wet wine consumption and better sexuality. Better meaning probably have sex with them.
Yes.
That means better if they have sex with the Italian researchers.
The red wine goggles. It works very well in Italy.
In the project, described as the first to examine red wine intake and women's sexual function, doctors at the University of Florence recruited 800 women aged 18 to 50. Huh. All participants completed the questionnaire, a female sexual function index, which is used by doctors to assess women and sexual health. Some were too drunk to fill it out and just went immediately to having sex with the Italian researchers.
Can I get funding to conduct my own study?
The researchers,
you're a married man.
Oh, that's right.
Who reported their findings in the Journal of Sexual Medicine.
Whatever.
Okay.
How does one get a job at the Journal for Sexual Medicine?
Are there pictures? Is there a centerfold in the Journal for Sexual Medicine?
They say the outcome is even more striking because the red wine drinkers were on average older than the other two groups.
Oh, imagine that.
Just how red wine could have such an effect is not clear.
Needs more study.
Yes. Yeah. I'm guessing it'll lead to another study on getting women drunk on red wine.
Yeah. Janice and I do that study every night.
All right. Let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go, kids.
Yippee. Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story: after a week of major setbacks on health reform, White House officials and Nancy Pelosi. Slowly I turned.
Nancy Pelosi and her counterparts.
And they are at this point.
Well, yes.
They did their best to sound upbeat with new deadlines looming to move bills out of key committees before the August recess. White House senior advisor David Axelrod insisted most of the work is already done with just 20% left to go. Pelosi said, again, she has the votes to get the bill passed. But things look a lot different for some members and senators, some of whom said Sunday they don't think a quick resolution on either chamber is guaranteed right now, no matter how much President Obama wants it. The most downbeat came from Kent Conrad, who said he couldn't say for sure that the committee would vote on the bill before the Senate recess. We have, I believe, a White House spokesman.
Robert Gibbs, yes.
President Obama is thrilled and pleased to be able to announce the passage of the hallmark of his presidency, comprehensive health insurance reform. It is a triumph of hard work and bipartisan compromise that will result in a changed landscape in the American way of health. Of course, the way to consensus was hard and long and necessitated some strategic giving of ground on the part of the president. On the issue of using pre-existing conditions to deny coverage, the president defused a major fight by agreeing to the new pre-existence condition, whereby the insurance company can actually deny the fact of your very being. A tough concession, but necessary. Also, the president is on board with an alteration to the inclusion of a robust public option, whereby it is to be reconfigured as a robust pubic option.
Oh.
This provision allows the insurance companies, if you need to make a claim, the option of giving you a robust kick in the nads. And finally, as a gesture to the other side of the aisle, the president has agreed to name this historic law the Private Insurer's Profit Protection Plan of 2009. He looks forward to signing it, and as soon as he does, the Capitol Police will be checking for compliance. He looks forward to having a beer with all the participants in the new plan. And in an homage to the movie Animal House, recommends that you all start drinking heavily. Thank you. No questions.
And finally, jailed music producer Phil Spector has been targeted behind bars by killer Charles Manson, who wants his help in launching a singing career. They're in the same prison.
Well, he had a singing career.
Manson, if I were Phil Spector, I would take that meeting. You know how mad Charlie Manson gets.
Charlie Manson actually auditioned to be one of the Monkees, I believe.
No, one of the Beach Boys.
One of the Beach Boys?
Yes, because, yeah, it was one of the Beach Boys.
His incarceration
Which one was missing?
Manson's incarceration is actually linked to his failure to make it as a musician back in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's like John Fugelsheim said, he would go back in time and buy Hitler's art. Not kill him, because, see, if you weren't a failed...
Go back in time and buy Charles Manson's records.
After Doris Day's record producer's son, Terry Melcher, rejected him, Manson sent members of his cult to kill him.
Yes.
He had recently sold his house to someone else, so they killed the wrong people.
That's
not important now. Anyway, Manson was a wannabe rocker before the murders. Inspector's wife claims the cult leader has hounded her husband for musical tips.
Oh, no.
He said, I love this. He said, Manson sent a note. He said he considers Philip the greatest producer who ever lived. It was creepy. He was creeped out.
Wow. Spector was creeped out by something. That's saying something.
Philip didn't respond. Wow. We have, boy, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Hey,
there, baby boomers. Are you pining for the 60s? Are you wishing you could hear those jams of old? Well, check this out. By special arrangement with Corcoran State Records, we bring you two titans of the days when artists just murdered the competition together again for the first time. That's right. Phil Spector and Charles Manson, both holdovers from the dear dead days, have combined to unite Phil's famous wall of concrete production techniques with Charles' psychotic attraction to give us a new family of music in their first release. Doing the time, cause we did the crime. Thrill when you hear your old fave raves. Shotgun. Hey Joe. Killing Me Softly with His Knife. All Along the Watchtower. Tie a yellow ribbon around my carotid artery. Six-blade knife. The theme from View to a Kill. The theme from Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. The Art of Dying. Only the Good Die Young. And of course, The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. Available in 33 and a third, 45 and 50 the life. Don't delay. Buy now and be part of the inside crowd. Not available in stores. Buyers should be immune to backwards masking. Turn me on, dead man.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends there's an ad for Jim Ward's website on StephanieMiller.com.
Yep.
Check it out.
Buy the album.
All right. Here's my favorite part of the story. Spector's publicist.
Wow. There's a... Wow.
There's a job. There's... Oh, all right. I told you my friend is the
hair.
My friend was the prison psychologist at that prison. She worked with the people that were too crazy to be with Charlie Manson. They're the segregated unit.
That
the people that
doing.
Charlie Manson said, those people are crazy. They need to be somewhere
people
else.
Are nuts.
21 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 26 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Michael in Los Angeles on healthcare. Hey, Mike.
Yes, right here.
Hi, go ahead.
I was just going to say that an extreme minority dominating healthcare policy over the supermajority is not democratic. And I think that if they keep pushing it like this, I think the Democrats are going to go down like a sack of potatoes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, I mean, this has the makings of a revolution. I got to tell you, you know, we keep mentioning it, but on what issue have you heard 75%? 75% of the American people want, or close to it, want a public option.
And how did we get to this? It was single payer, then it was public option.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how did we get to that? I mean, where did all of the public get shut out of this? Because, you know, the blue dogs may, you know, run the day, but there's a lot of hound dogs.
Yeah, it's the, it's apparently the United States of insurance companies is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go to...
The United States of big business.
Mm. Let's go to David in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, go ahead.
Hey, really quick. From here on out, I think that anytime a public option is mentioned, especially by these naysayers and these tools that are trying to extinguish any public option, we've got to mention Medicare and the Veterans Administration, because those are two models that
right.
can
Well, I feel like we've been saying it till blue in the face over here. Jonathan in Vermont, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, hi. I think the big mistake we made was not saying single payer or nothing right from the beginning. Then we might have gotten a public option. We never should have brought up a public option. We should have insisted on single payer or nothing from the beginning, and the president shouldn't have squandered so much capital on this bipartisan BS.
Yep, I hear you, honey. Well said. 28 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the health care debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, man. Look at your rack. I'd motorboat that.
live. Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mary in Chicago on healthcare. Hey, Mary, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I've been a nurse for 43 years, and my blood boils when I hear congressmen say there has to be a level playing field. What they're saying is code for we've got to protect the insurance companies. As long as there is a for-profit health plan, there is no level playing field. Costs are not up because we have too many tests. As a nurse, I'm begging insurance companies every day to allow for tests. The costs are up because of their profit margins.
Right, right.
And the stuff that's going on right now is going to continue because in the current bill, they have protected the insurance and the pharmaca for the next 5 years to do what they want. They've given them free reign. So right now, we have patients who have lost part of their prescription plan until they meet their medical deductible every year.
Yep.
That's outrageous.
Yep.
And I'm discouraged, and I don't think we're going to get what we need.
Well, unless we have you say you want a revolution? Who said that? Did I hear it? Yeah, I want you to get up right now.
Say you want a revolution, well, you know.
Christopher, where is the website? Who is it? Leahy, Durbin, and who else is doing if you want a public option?
Schumer. It's
Schumer.
CitizensForApublicOption.com. I put a link to it on my Twitter feed, which you can find on the front page of StephanieMiller.com.
Thank you. Mara in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello?
Maria?
Hi.
Maria.
Hi.
Did I say that right? Sorry.
You did. How are you, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
Love you, Mama. Love you, Mama.
Thank
you. I want to call and tell you a brief story. My mother died of lung cancer about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So sorry.
Thank you. And when we went to the hospital on one occasion, this was before she was diagnosed as terminal. She was struggling with symptoms of pneumonia and having a tough time breathing. We went to our hospital where she'd had her surgery, and she had to sit, I will never forget this, with the administrator of the hospital because our insurance required that she check herself in. My father was begging, please let my wife get treatment. Let me check her in. And the woman kept saying, your insurance does not allow for that. Your wife has to check herself in. My mom could barely make her way through a sentence. She was having to dig through her purse to try and find her insurance card, her insurance information. They would not admit her until she had been through this entire process that the insurance company insisted on, and it was agonizing because the woman at the hospital was having such a hard time understanding my mom. My mom was having a hard time communicating with her. It was just one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
It's Kafka-esque.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, Mari. Thanks for the story, though. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, guys. Keep doing what you're doing. I love you all.
All right. Thank you, honey. Sheila in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Sheila.
Hey, Stephanie. My blood pressure is boiling. I want you to know it. I am so angry, but I'm holding on to a shred of hope that this is this compromise is only in the Finance Committee, and hopefully when they merge all the plans together, it will include a public option. I think as frustrated as we all are, we still need to keep pushing forward. I know on August 1st, we're having a healthcare reform meeting in the Chicagoland area to try to debunk some of the untruths, to try to get some support and people getting out to put pressure on our Congress and our legislators in Congress who are supposed to be doing the work of the American people. Mm-hmm. But somebody there said it seems more like it's the United States of big business, and I wholeheartedly agree, but we got to push back on this.
Yep, I agree with you. All right. By the way,
what?
I understand that we were pitched Dick Morris in a cheery letter from a publicist.
Yes, did you see that letter?
Mm-hmm. Would you like to have Dick Morris on?
Computer says no.
No, not really. We'd rather play sound bites and mock him mercilessly.
Always liked Obama more than we liked his programs. Now he's using his popularity to sell his programs. The problem is that's lowering his popularity.
No.
And the lower his popularity gets, the less likely health care is to pass. So when he pushes health care, he's hurting health care because he's bringing down the ratings that he needs to get it passed.
That's why it's getting bad.
No, that's not why. It's because he's not lived up to what he promised. It's not because he's pushing too leftist an agenda.
Exactly.
Quite the opposite. They're
by the way,
caving into the right-wing hacks like you.
Dick Moore is still getting winded by a run-on sentence.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Dick Morris does need some health care.
It's like he's running a sprint. He can't quite get through the whole ridiculous talking.
But President Obama is more fan of his policies the less we like him because he's coming to the canyon.
He sounds like a wacky racer.
He's Muttley.
Yes.
He's the right-wing Muttley. Oh, I can't
get
enough
of that.
We like
him as a person, but we find out about a commie and...
That tickles us to no end.
It is the audio. You can see right there the Republican Party running on fumes.
Yes.
Literally running on fumes. That's all they got. They got birthers and Dick Morris. That's it. All right. That's my new favorite do it again, Jim. I cannot get enough of the Dick Morris impression.
Well, the problem is that people like him personally, but his policies are so far to the left. It's...
We need a bigger body, Paul, for that.
We do. Wait a minute.
Okay.
There we go. That's more like it.
Do it again, Jim. Do it running out. Okay, let's do it again. Here we go.
The problem with the Democratic Party is that they're too far to the left and they just get rid of it and people...
See, that was way more fun than actually having Dick Morris on, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, we don't need Dick Morris on.
I don't think they're going to pitch him again.
I don't think so.
No, these people are like spammers. No matter how much I say, we don't want your people, they keep pitching me. So.
All right, Colleen in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi Colleen. We're cranking ourselves up this morning. Sorry.
I could see that. My belief is that the moment Americans have the self-esteem, honestly believe that we deserve health care, that our children deserve health care, that our partners, that our families deserve health care, that is when we're going to get it. Because right now, we're allowing the other people to have all the power, the business to have all the power. As soon as we have the power, we just...
Right. We're good enough. We're smart enough. Al Franken's in the Senate, and we deserve health care, damn it.
Right.
All right. Thank you, honey. All right. Let's go to... All right. Julius in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Julius.
Hey, Stephanie, you're always funny on Larry King. Hey, just because I'm calling from L.A., that doesn't mean I'm a bimbo. I'm the only person in L.A. who's not a bimbo. But anyway, I think we need only a public option. I think Obama is being a real wimp about his health care plan. You know, I don't know, and he's doing a horrible job fighting for it. Did you see the documentary Sicko?
Well, I have not seen it yet, but yeah, you're right. I mean, he needs to say public option, period.
You have to see that documentary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A drug they pay 5 cents for in Cuba, we pay $120 for here in America. That's how bad they're ripping us off.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the capitalist pig greed factor out of the healthcare equation, we'd all be paying a dollar a year for healthcare.
Yep. Yeah. I know. And meanwhile, that's the Castro is one of the Republican Dick Morris talking points.
Yep. The president is like Castro with the nationalized healthcare is a disaster. The people without the drugs cost virtually nothing, and the yoga better.
Okay, I'm gonna take a break now.
Oh no,
he does this to me at least once a week. 42 minutes.
Who, Dick Morris or Jim Ward?
Jim Ward.
Oh, okay.
In the job title, talk show host, it is apparently required that you talk. Yeah. 42 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
May cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crime.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Stephen in Albuquerque, or Stephen, sorry. Hey, Steph.
Yeah.
Hi, go ahead.
Oh, I'm on.
Yes.
Hey, you guys, I don't mind you making up stories about health care, but stop talking, stop running down Charlie, okay?
Who's Charlie?
Yeah, we're going back about 20
Who's
minutes.
Charlie?
Oh, yeah, Manson. I'm sorry.
Oh, Charlie Manson. Sorry.
Everybody's got their hair on fire about the Finance Committee. Mm-hmm. Who cares? What they've done is actually a good thing for us.
Why?
Well, because how many people you think are going to call and fax today? This is going to be the worst day for any fax machine in D.C. Mm-hmm. It already is. Probably.
They still have fax machines?
and by the way,
we can't send the Pony Express.
I know you were with Tom Hartman recently.
Yes.
Okay, now, did he talk to you about fax machines?
No. But I'll see him in Seattle next weekend. Maybe he will. I have no idea what you're talking about. All right. I will see him. By the way, go to the calendar section of StephanieMiller.com. Mm-hmm. Tom Hartman, Mama, Ron Reagan, Mike Malloy. Who else? Oh, Bill Press will be at the town hall in Seattle. You can find out how to get tickets at the calendar section on StephanieMiller.com.
Just go to the show section right there on the front page, and then under that you will see calendar of events.
All right. Michael in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, listen, I have a true story about our folks from the Lewin Group. I'm sorry, also known as United Healthcare.
That's right.
We have a situation here. There's a police officer from Dallas that was injured during a training course out in Colorado. And as a result of being injured from dehydration, he wound up with blood clots that had to be surgically removed. And in order to return back to Dallas, the recommendation was that he go by medical helicopter. Well, because he couldn't fly, obviously, with blood clots on commercial airlines. Well, United Healthcare denied the claim. And they said that it wasn't medically necessary, or that their plan only called for transportation to an emergency facility. As it turns out, the police officer is being transported back to Dallas, but it's being paid for by a private individual. So I guess United Healthcare was a little concerned that was going to eat into their profit, so they decided not to they denied coverage, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Giving people health care seems to defeat the purpose for them.
Health care is only good with those guys until they have to pay out.
Yeah, exactly. All right. The good news is, I don't. Sarah Palin is sort of gone.
I think a majority of Alaskans wish she were fully gone.
Yeah.
Do I have to watch any more footage of her serving people moose burgers or
whatever?
Whatever.
You know what, though? Actually, moose burger is actually kind of good.
Mm-hmm. I bet it is.
I don't believe I've had a moose burger. Yeah. Let's see. There were a bunch of, first of all, Jim, non-words in her parting Palinisms. Hang on a second. I got my favorite Palinisms from this past weekend. Let's see here. Oh, and some of the people at the rallies, just precious.
Yeah.
All right, let's start with this.
It is because I love Alaska this much, sir, that I feel that it is my duty to avoid the unproductive, typical politics as usual, lame duck session in one's last year in office. How does that benefit you? Now, with this decision now, I will be able to fight even harder for you, for what is right and for truth.
Huh?
What?
By not being there and doing her job, she'll be able to fight harder.
By quitting midway through her term,
she's proving that she's not a quitter.
That one of the options she's looking at is a radio show? How about that soothing voice for 3 hours every day?
What syndicator in their right mind would put her on the air?
By the way, that was one of the guys she was clearly perturbed by. They were holding signs saying, quit, baby, quit. And she said some are still choosing not to hear why I'm charting a new course to advance this state, saying it should be so obvious to you.
What?
She hasn't explained to us why she's quit.
Well, it should be obvious to you. Obviously, you're dope if you don't know why.
God, she's stupid.
Oh, okay, here's the new Palinism, Jim. She said, some seem to just be hell-bent on maybe tearing down our nation, perpetuating some pessimism and suggesting American apologetics.
Apologetics?
Suggesting American
Is
apologetics.
Is that like Dianetics? Apologetics.
Yes.
I guess the president must engage in apologetics. She also went on to warn of anti-hunting, anti-Second Amendment circuses from Hollywood.
She offered such individuals this message. By the way, Hollywood needs to know we eat, therefore we hunt.
What?
Okay. Let's just move
on. We can resist enslavement to big central government that crushes hope and opportunity.
Huh?
Be wary of accepting government largesse. It doesn't come free.
Didn't Alaska accept more government largesse
than any other
per
state
capita than any other state in the country while she was governor?
And then she...
Her state
also, too, in addition?
Gives out a bunch of government largesse to its citizens in the form of oil checks.
And then she, of course, brought the troops into it with a little message to the media.
Democracy depends on you. And that is why, that's why our troops are willing to die for you. So, how about, in honor of the American soldier, you quit making things up.
Who was she talking to? The American soldier?
No, the media.
Oh.
In honor of the soldier.
The soldier making things up.
What has been
falsifying
made up about her?
Her record.
I don't know. Perhaps reporting that 53% of Americans view her negatively. She has a 40% approval rating. And worse for Palin, 4 in 10 Republicans don't think she understands complex issues. 4 in 10 Republicans think she's a dope as well. And reporting things like that. And I report that because I hate the troops.
I could totally make things up about her.
You know who is ruining America today, Chris?
Who?
John Eric Thompson.
And he is with?
Himself.
And this would be regarding?
He was at the Palin picnic. He said, I'll tell you one thing, if we get a woman president, let it be her. She's a real woman. She knows what a woman is supposed to be. She is pro-life. She is pro-family. She is pro-woman. Okay, there's so much
someone
you can
else.
Say there. You know who else ruining America?
Who?
I don't know. There's so many people mentioned in these articles. It's hard to find them all at once. Let's see. Becca Boise.
And she is with?
Herself.
Okay.
I think Sarah should be president. I think she would do a much better job. She has the people's interest, which apparently is the only requirement to be a president, according to Becca.
Which
people? The people.
Wait,
the
she has the people's interests, or she has the people's interests at heart? I don't think that sentence was...
Becca didn't expound on that.
She doesn't know how to complete that sentence.
No, obviously.
She has people's interests. I stopped reading after that part.
People got the power.
Don't underestimate the wisdom of the people. And one other thing for the media, our new governor has a very nice family, too. So leave his kids alone.
Well, he hasn't inserted his kids into a campaign now, has he?
Yeah, he hasn't used them as human props. So
Tossing the baby around like a rag doll at the convention.
Could I have my deliverance music, please? Larry Landry of Fairbanks was standing next to a friend holding a sign that said, thanks for the laughs, when he was heckled by a passerby. Well, look here, it's a couple of gay guys, a couple of gay fellers, remarked a passerby. The man holding up the sign then held up what he said with his wedding ring, proving that he's normal and not, of course, one of the gays.
Yeah, doesn't have any of the gay on him.
And put it in the face of the heckler, saying he was married. That's the type of folk at the Sarah Palin...
Married to homosexuals.
Hey, got a couple gay fellers here that don't like...
They don't like Sarah Palin, they must be homos. In French.
I got news for them. You know, Fairbanks has gay people, too.
What?
What? No, stop it.
Fairbanks is not spelled with a Y.
She said, come on, me. She is still tweeting. Foreshadowing the freedom to speak her mind as a private citizen, she recently wrote, 10 days till less politically correct Twitters fly from my fingertips. Oh, no.
I can't wait.
Oh, my God. We'll await that. Okay.
You're going to see anti-hunting, anti-Second Amendment circuses from Hollywood. And here's how they do it. They use these delicate, tiny, very talented celebrity starlets. They use Alaska as a fundraising tool for their anti-Second Amendment causes.
Beware of teeny tiny starlets.
What, like?
Just another warning shot, Hollywood.
By the way, Hollywood needs to know we eat, therefore we hunt.
Why is she bringing Hollywood into this?
What? I don't know.
I think... Who was some actress?
Ashley Judd.
Was it Ashley Judd? Did something.
That's one person. That's not Hollywood.
Hillary Rosen with some thoughts on her career.
On the Situation Room.
When she gets paid $100,000 a speech, she better have a little more substance in those speeches than the sort of flying around sort of gratuitous attacks all the time. There's just got to be some strategy associated with the things that come out of her mouth.
Nope.
All right.
In what respect, Charlie?
57. Oh, boy. 57 minutes after the hour. Tinsel Talk is next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Representative Joe Courtney, Democrat of the great state of Connecticut, coming up in the celebrity show.
Hi, yes. Yeah, man. You've been drinking
I'm
that red
drunk
wine.
Because of the health care debate.
And you wanted to get in on Jim's study about red wine and sexuality.
Yeah. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by the GMC Summer Event. Celebrate the next 100 years of engineering excellence at the GMC Summer Event. Check out the legendary 09 Sierra 1500 or the 8-passenger Acadia. Visit GMCDealer.com. Take delivery by 7/31/09. See dealer for details. Yay! All right. As you know, it was quitting time for Caribou Barbie, Charles Krauthammer, on the Brit Bear Show.
It's absolutely true that she has been terribly treated by the media, unfairly, on a scale rarely seen. Nonetheless, I don't think it's productive for her to attack the media. When she complains about it, it has a whining quality.
Wow.
You sussed that out, huh? You noticed that.
Gee, her voice is so subtle, I hadn't picked that up. Okay. Meanwhile, Dick Morris on the health care debate.
We always liked Obama more than we liked his programs. Mm. Now he's using his popularity to sell his programs. Mm. The problem is that's lowering his popularity. Mm. And the lower his popularity gets, the less likely health care is to pass. So when he pushes health care, he's hurting health care because he's bringing down the ratings that he needs to get it passed.
We thought, you thought he was a reasonable person, but turns out he's a commie Nazi Kenyan bad Muslim Christian. I can't breathe.
Oh, good. That's a better body fault. Yeah. Of course. Thank you, Shano.
I'm choking on my own lies. I can't.
Dick Morris, once again. Winded by a run-on Republican talking point. All right. Meanwhile, the White House has announced the beer is on Thursday.
Yes.
Between Professor Gates and the President and Sergeant Crowley.
Beer at the White House at 6.
Mm-hmm.
Be sharp.
They released the 911 call.
Are they still in the house?
They're still in the house, I believe, yeah.
Are they white, black, or Hispanic?
Well, there were two larger men. One looked kind of Hispanic, but I'm not really sure. And the other one entered, and I didn't see what he looked like at all.
Yeah. All right. By the by, it turns out Sergeant Crowley got some things wrong in the police report, according to the woman that called in the request. So we'll get to all of that in a moment. Meanwhile, Eric in Ohio writes, "Hey, Steph, it's sad that Shelley Duvall flashes her car lights at night to communicate with space aliens, believes a hole in her backyard is a portal to another dimension, and lives in fear of aliens who are out to get her. Not as sad as mixing her dog's painkillers with her box wine and dancing with a life-size cutout of Hal Sparks, but pretty sad." Eric, you know, I don't know who he refers to in that last.
Oh, God, that was funny.
All right.
You really do have a life-size cutout of Hal Sparks at home, don't you?
Shush. No, don't speak. Don't speak. No. Silence. Don't speak.
That's why he makes you uncomfortable. Because it's like your cutout has come to life.
Julie in Seattle.
and is molesting
the
you.
The golem.
Julie in Seattle, the official beaver reporter of the Stephanie Miller Show, with a fun fact about Mama's home state. Beaver was named the New York State Animal in 1975, just about the time Mama began her slutty Catholic girl school days up the transit. Coincidence? And she sent the story. The beaver adopted as the state animal of New York in 1975. Mama was drunkenly driving her Dodge Dart around Lockport.
Adopt a beaver, won't you?
Mm. Beaver, Jim, here's the fun facts from this particular story. Beaver always works at night.
Yeah. You hope so, anyway.
And are prolific builders carrying mud and stones with their forepaws and timber between their teeth.
Wait, wow. Beavers have paws?
And gouge.
And teeth.
No teeth. Oh. Wildlife rehabilitators find beaver to be gentle, reasoning creatures who enjoy playing practical jokes. an Indian word for beaver-like also means affable. American Indians called beaver the sacred center of the land because they create rich habitats for other animals, mammals, fish, turtle, frogs, birds, and ducks. Wow, that's a big beaver there that can fit all that. An adult beaver can weigh over 40 pounds.
Nice beaver.
Yikes.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
When a beaver gives a danger signal, Jim, all nearby beaver will dive and may not reemerge for some time.
Oh,
so let that
dear.
Be a lesson to you.
Is that the warning?
That's
the beaver
alarm.
Danger signal.
Danger signal? Yeah.
Can you imagine getting near a beaver and hearing that?
God! What'd I do wrong?
And the final fun fact, did you know, Jim, Native Americans and early settlers also ate beaver?
Oh, they consider them sacred and they eat them anyway.
Speaking of eating beaver, if you go to green960.com, there are pictures up of our event over the weekend, and there's a picture of me taking a big bite of a beaver.
Oh, the box of beaver that someone gave you.
Yes.
It's a big box of stuffed beaver.
Yes, and the photographer said take a bite out of it, so I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You'll want to check that out.
Green960.com.
There may be pictures of me doing that somewhere, too, but I doubt it.
Okay.
You were young. You were hungry.
Oh.
Putting yourself through stewardess school.
Okay. Let's check some entertainment news, shall we? Here we go.
What? Huh?
What? Yeah.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, a Hollywood area McDonald's received a supersized celebrity visit on Sunday. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Oh, really?
Pulled through the restaurant's drive-thru to order treats for their kids. Pitt drove the Chevrolet Suburban while Jolie sat shotgun. Bodyguards blocked the drive-thru and anyone getting close to the family's vehicle, as most of us do when we go through the drive-thru. As the Jolie Pitt clan waited in line for about 5 minutes before they were handed their bags of food, do we have the audio? Yes.
Can I take your order, please?
Can I have 22 Happy Meals?
This is a joke, right?
No, look, just humor me. You know, the old lady just went on a shopping spree, and we have to feed the goods. Got it? Okay, on those Happy Meals, can you make 6 of those Happy Meals be shredded goat head, 8 of them be wildebeest haunch, and another 8 of them be saddle of dog?
Sure, this is McDonald's. You can have a hamburger or a cheeseburger, a chicken McNuggets, or a side set.
Listen, fella, if I don't get what the better half wants, I'm going to be a Happy Meal, you dig? Just say yes, sir, and I'll make it worth your while. Just stick anything there you got lying around. The kids don't care. They'll eat anything that doesn't eat them first. So, you got that?
Yes, sir. Would you like fries with that?
You got any of those crispy grasshoppers?
Sir.
Kimchi? Nigiri bread?
Yes, sir.
Dude, you're killing me. At least tell me you got Maasai blood and milk to drink.
Sure, you can have an apple dipper if you like.
That's it. I'm cooked for sure. Listen, pal, are you hiring him there?
You'll have to ask the manager, sir, but I believe we're fully staffed.
Help me. Somebody please help me.
And finally, speaking of spouses that need help, actress Katie Holmes narrowly escaped injury on the set of her upcoming movie Don't Be Afraid of the Dark in Australia over the weekend.
Oh, really?
She was shooting a scene inside a car when the vehicle's battery exploded before the car then caught fire. The exploding battery, not part of the film.
Those damn gnomes.
In the Miramax film, the wife of Tom Cruise plays a woman stalked by evil gnomes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make any jokes about how short Tom Cruise is.
He is very short, and some say he is evil.
All right.
Coming to a theater near you. Unless you live in Whoop Whoop Beyond the Black Stump and the Never Never, in which case you're in no hope, mate. It's the terrifying tale of a fair dinkum Sheila who inherits an old mansion infested with evil gnomes who whisper bizarre incantations in the dark.
Psychiatry is death.
And try to draw you into their freakish gnome world.
The Galactic Confederacy needs more DCHs for the volcanoes.
And if you dare to leave, the evil gnomes will set your car on fire.
Am I going to die?
Katie Holmes, Guy Pearce, and the Travelocity gnome star in Don't Be Afraid of the Celebrity Center. Coming soon.
No! This trailer is suppressive and glib. Katie is not doing this movie. Come on, Katie. This whole country needs a ComEd e-meter disconnection rundown. Let's go. Katie?
Somebody help me. Somebody please help me.
No! No!
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. If you'd like more Jim Ward, call the roll.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal Ghost Officer. Have... And I haven't even had any red wine.
Mm-hmm. God, you sound like Bing Crosby there.
Bing Crosby. I got Jim Mark's pocket for true. Got Thailand. Stephanie Miller website, stephanie.com. Have a nice writing glass of orange juice. Buy the album, why don't you?
The wheels came off this bus early this morning.
Yeah, really good.
They told me. Wow. Okay. Michael Jackson's personal doctor administered a powerful anesthetic to help him sleep, and authorities believe now that is the drug that killed the pop singer. The breaking news this morning.
Yeah.
According to the Associated Press.
Well, help him sleep.
That is the weirdest. I thought I had bad insomnia. Jackson had trouble sleeping. The official said he enlisted various doctors to administer propofol. Am I saying that right? Relying on the drug like an alarm clock, he decided what time he wanted to awaken, and at the appointed hour, a doctor would stop the intravenous drip.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
Like coming out of surgery every morning. Who could have thought that would have go awry?
But the doctor fell asleep, right?
I don't know. The official said that Jackson regularly received the drug to sleep. And June 25th, the day he died, Dr. Conrad Murray, they're saying, gave him the drug sometime after midnight. Investigators are working under the theory that that caused his heart to stop. Well, yeah, you have to be. That's why there were oxygen tanks. You have to be monitored, and you might need oxygen, or you might it's like being in surgery. Yeah, it would be like if the doctor went out for drinks while during your surgery and just left you there.
Yeah,
you know, just everybody, let's go.
My God.
Wow.
It had to be somewhere. Oh crap!
Where was I supposed to be? Go. All right, Susie Essman, who is hilarious from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes. And. Filthy mouth.
Oh, we're going to have to get her on the radio show. We're going to have to get her on the show to talk about her new book. Her new book details her sex life with losers.
Oh, really? Kind of like yours.
She candidly catalogs her weird sexploits with the army of losers that she's dated. She says, "My past is littered with unbelievably inappropriate partners. I stayed with men when the bells were ringing so loudly Marley Matlin could have heard them." That's
funny.
Not sure which I can say on the little family radio show. There was the guy who insisted on wearing a lobster bib when having a certain kind of sex. Then there was
really?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Then there was the freak who every time he
didn't take his suit off before he, you know.
Then there was the freak who every time he went to the bathroom made me applaud.
God.
Just as strange, the oddball who told Essman on their first date that his inner child was Dame Judi Dench. And one boyfriend admitted to me one day that his pet name for his penis was Klaus Barbie Butcher of Lyon.
Lyon.
The worst, though, the guy who barked every time they
barked
a certain
position.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
That sounds like an episode of, that show.
By the way, I know you two have had a hard time just soldiering on, even showing up for work. What with the whole Tony Romo, Jessica Simpson breakup and all.
Damn it. Who's he?
He's the quarterback guy.
You're with?
Quarterback guy.
And he's the ribs place.
Dallas Cowboy quarterback.
That's Tony
Romo. Different.
A place
he,
for ribs.
He apparently broke up with her at IHOP, which is classy with a K. All right.
The Rudy Tootie Fresh and Free. I got to quit. I can't do this.
I just dated an IHOP over the weekend.
Guess what? Michael Vick is back in the NFL, speaking of football players. Yeah. I say all he needs is a team to play for. I say we don't let him play in any of our reindeer games. He can participate.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
He can immediately take part in preseason practices if he can find a team that will sign him. A number of teams have already said,
really?
The Giants, the Cowboys, the Falcons.
Oh, my God.
Does PETA have a football team?
I'm
guessing he wouldn't make the cut.
All right. I'm going to take a wild leap where the next Fred Phelps protest will be.
Uh-oh.
HBO, according to a new study, leads on gay characters.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. They scored highest among 15 networks for the representations of gay characters last season. HBO's of their 14 original primetime series, 10 included characters with the gay. That totaled 42% of the network's programming hours. By contrast, NBC, CBS holding at 8% and 5%, respectively, of primetime hours. We say yay for HBO. Yay! All right, 20 minutes after the hour, the beer is Thursday. That's the important thing. Back with the latest news on the Professor Gates arrest as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rhonda in Pennsylvania on healthcare. Hey, Rhonda.
Hi. How you doing? I wanted to talk about healthcare, not Henry Louis Gates.
All right.
I am kind of different than most people in my thinking about, you know, the passage of the bill. I actually don't want it to pass now. What I want is single payer. And so what I'd like to see is them not pass it, and then over the next 4 weeks of their quote-unquote vacation, that we, the populace, make a concerted effort to put pressure on them, calling, you know, going to their offices, protest if we need to, you know, because I do believe that we can overcome the power elite. We just have to show strength in numbers. You know, we have to show the will of the people, because there's an element of elitism and classism in this argument. You know, there's this undercurrent that some people deserve health care more than others. And, you know, a lot of people have been calling your show talking about their individual stories. And those actually mean a lot, but what I would like for people to pay attention to is the pattern. If hundreds of people are calling, thousands of people are calling in with these horror stories, that means that there's a problem with the system, and we need to change it.
I'd
like for you to change your music. I want to agree with the caller who was on very early in your show. Please change your music back to "We're Not Going to Take It," because we need to get fired up, really.
Yeah, exactly. And I was going to do "It's a New Day," too, until you stopped me, Chris. Thank God.
See, I am always...
It's not a new day in the United States of Edna.
Yesterday, but it's an old day now.
The Jeff Patel song would be very
You need to listen to me more, because I always end up being
right. No, you don't. Especially about the Louis Gates controversy. You're with Sean Hannity on that. Sean Hannity on the Professor Gates controversy.
Let's get into this Professor Gates issue. And more importantly, it's Barack Obama's involvement. Without at first admitting, I don't know anything about this, they acted stupidly. Right. And then he wouldn't apologize. He didn't come out and say, "I'm sorry, I'm wrong, I shouldn't have said it." No, he said, "This is a teachable moment. We need not pump up the volume. We need to calm down."
Yeah, as it turns out, we do. The beer is scheduled for Thursday.
Yep.
And by the way, looks like Crowley got his report wrong. He said he spoke to this woman at the scene, and she reported seeing two black men on the porch. Her attorney says her client did not mention the men's race and did not speak to him at the scene. So as people were saying yesterday, just because it's a police report doesn't also mean everything in it is
absolutely
correct. The 911 call.
That?
The 911 call says you can hear Crowley telling dispatchers Gates was being uncooperative and keep the cars coming. For one guy with a cane, for one old guy with a cane that's already proved he lives in the house.
Cane could be used as a weapon.
That's not an overreaction.
Cane could be used as a weapon.
Please, there were several officers already there.
Yeah, in hindsight.
28 minutes after the hour, Representative Joe Courtney on the health care debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You know, for someone who's super, super hot, you're really cranky.
Shut up. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from ever anywhere. We are all bloated and cranky this morning over health care. With the latest, you know, who can tell what's happening? It looks like the latest, what is it? What do they call it now, Chris? Compromise?
I think that's what it is.
doesn't include a public option or what was the other thing? Anything else important to most 75% of Americans. However, there may be hope. Let's find out from someone in the know. Why, who is it, Jim?
From the great state of Connecticut, the place north of New York.
Yes.
Representative Joe Courtney.
Congressman, we apologize for taking all the teas out of your state.
That's great.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. Thanks for the invitation.
We got a lot of angry callers this morning. I know this isn't final yet, but obviously, you know, the word coming out is that this compromise it does not include a public option for health care. Well, what are you hearing?
Well, I think, people shouldn't get too ahead of the process right now. I mean, as someone who's on the House Education and Labor Committee and voted out the bill 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. We were one of the first committees to successfully move the public option bill forward.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not ready to surrender to, some of the press accounts that are out there.
Right.
And again, frankly, on the Senate side, the Health Education and Labor Committee reported out a bill with a public option as well. There's no question the Senate Finance Committee is talking about a bill that doesn't include that, but, there's a lot more twists and turns in the road here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's what I think people are hoping, because I got to tell you, there are, from my understanding, a ton of people on the phones today and fax
yep.
machines to their representatives, because, I'm sure you've seen the polls, like 70-something
yep.
percent of the American people want this to include a public option.
And people should keep making those calls, and they should call even the people they think are their friends. That's what drives this place, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
but particularly for some who are a little more wobbly on issues, is hearing from people, and even from outside of your district, it doesn't hurt, to wade in.
Right. I mean, this headline today, most panel Republicans to oppose Sotomayor, it's the same on
yep.
every issue, isn't
yep.
it? Whatever the president's for, they're just against.
Yeah, and when we did the vote in the House Education and Labor Committee, we didn't get a single R on it. And,
yeah.
And again, the thing that drives me nuts is sitting there, because it was a 20-hour meeting that we marked up the bill and reported out, and you just heard this, refrain over and over again about government getting in between the doctor and the patient. Every member of Congress, when you get elected and sworn in, you get a pin so you can get through the door. You get a voting card so
mm-hmm.
you can vote. And you also get an opportunity to enroll in the Congressional Health Care Plan,
mm-hmm.
which is a purchasing exchange very similar to what the bill calls for, where you get a choice of different plans, very stable and moderate in terms of the rates versus what, your constituents have to contend with when they go out and try and buy insurance in this completely fragmented, splintered market that we have right now. When I ran for office in 2006, I took a pledge to the voters where I said I would not take the Congressional Health Plan until every American had the opportunity to get access to the same kind of stable coverage. And, to listen to the hypocrisy of people who, gladly are willing to let the taxpayer supply their insurance, then turn around and demagogue and
mm-hmm.
trash a plan that they use. I mean, it's stunning.
Right. And the obviously you've probably heard the Congressional Budget Office, just came out with this new analysis, as the
yep.
bipartisan committee came out with an analysis that completely disproves one of the right wing talking points. It says the public option would not drive
right.
private insurers out of business.
That's right. And it saves money for the plan. I mean, for everybody who's, crying about CBO's score on this bill. I mean, the fact is that a robust public option actually brings down the cost, the cost of the plan. Because,
mm-hmm.
public plans like TRICARE and Medicare operate very efficiently, and they would put pressure on the private plans that compete in this purchasing exchange to lower their prices.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I'm trying not to, we're all trying not to overreact, but obviously
yeah.
it seems like those are two core principles, though, that they're saying are not in this compromise in the Senate, and that's the public option, and then also the forcing insurers to buy insurance, correct?
Yes. I mean, and I would just say this. I mean, I think the president has done a great job in terms of using his pulpit to keep this issue a priority, and certainly, from being on the inside here in D.C., his staff, it looks like all hands on deck in terms of lobbying and pushing for it. But the fact of the matter is that at some point they have to wade in a little bit more intensely in terms of coordinating this thing. I mean, Charlie Rangel used a great analogy the other day about making sure that all the planes are landing on the same runway here, you know, in terms of the committees and the two chambers.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, we have three committees now that have voted out a bill with a public option. I mean, it has been tested, and we, you know, showed that 72% of the public, you know, had support in the Congress. And we just got to make sure you know, that we don't have planes crashing into each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I mean. I think that a lot of people have said that today is like, do not give up the fight. You know, you got to remember that you guys work for us.
That's
so,
right.
You know, people, that's all they can do is not lose hope, right, and keep calling. Because I just, you know, I feel like this is a revolution. People are saying, look, we voted all of y'all in, and 70-something percent of us want a public option. And, you know, from everything I'm hearing, they don't consider this co-op thing to be a true public option.
That's right. I don't. And I, you know, again, I use the story. I have a Navy base in my district. We did a Congress on the Corner down there a few weeks ago. And the number one question that retirees and active duty sailors were coming up and asking me was, is Obama going to take away my TRICARE plan, my public option? And, you know, first of all, it doesn't. I mean, it protects TRICARE for people wearing our country's uniform. But secondly, that speaks volumes to me that people really value the government-run health program that they have through the military.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Congressman, we appreciate you taking time for us and fighting the good fight for health care for Americans. Thanks for coming on with us.
Okay, Stephanie.
All right. There he goes. Representative Joe Courtney.
I want him to come back. He's good.
Can I have some comedy music,
next
please?
Next time I'll be able to pronounce Connecticut, I think.
Thank you.
You
work
know, there's
on that.
A C in it.
I know. There's
okay.
Yes.
Can I have some comedy music, please?
One of the 14 C's is silent.
Our friend, the Rude Pundit, who is our guest every Monday here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Every Monday in hour one?
Yes. Let me get my finger on the bleep button. Has a hilarious post about health care. He writes, here's a conversation the Rude Pundit recently had with a somewhat conservative friend of mine. Friend, you know, I'm not against a public option on health care. Me, really? No, I just think it should be mandated that the policy can't be lower than the average price of the policies of the major insurers.
What?
Rude Pundit. But then you're giving all the power to the insurance industry. Isn't that the problem? Friend, the government shouldn't be doing anything to put an industry out of business. Rude Pundit. But the FHA didn't put banks out of the lending business and the health insurance industry. You work for diseased whores. You shouldn't be surprised if you get... Friend, you just want national health care. Rude Pundit. Yeah, I do. Friend, then why bother having this conversation?
Good point. Well, then how can friend be for a public option?
He goes on with a little more rudeness.
Yes.
Let me get my finger back. It has stunned the Rude Pundit that the major complaints about any health care plan the Democrats might eventually cobble together like some Frankenstein's monster with a Parkinson's-infected brain are that it will somehow damage the sacred relationship between a doctor and a patient and that President Obama wants to pay for it with a tax on really rich people. The only ones who seem to buy these bull lines are the media, who seem to be rooting for an Obama failure to keep the storyline interesting, the Republicans, who spend their evenings skull Michael Steele so the brother can't put a thought together. The blue dog Democrats who are listening to the media who make them believe their constituents are going to hang them from the lampposts, and the Yahoo rich people wannabe who have virtually no understanding of how socialism or healthcare works, only what Rush Limbaugh, etc., tell them. The Rude Pundit with some very rude thoughts on healthcare, right on the money as usual.
Rude and accurate. Yes.
Exactly. By the way, the party of no, I believe they voted today on Sonia Sotomayor.
Yes.
Confused
says no.
Most panel Republicans to oppose her. Where is my my sad trumpet for the Hispanic vote for the Republicans in the next election?
Yeah. They might as well not hold the hearings. We're just not going to vote for her.
Yes. Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, noted racist, the committee's top Republican, and Chuck Grassley have all both said they will vote no.
Computer says no.
However. Mad props to Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham, there you go. Condescending little twit that he is.
Still, he voted for her, so.
Jeff Sessions, who has had complimentary things to say about the Klan, said her experience, however well-rounded and background, however inspirational, is not enough. The announcement solidified near-unanimous Republican opposition and near-unanimous opposition from Hispanic Republicans. Yeah, the NRA told them to, so that's why they did that. Okay, 43 minutes after the hour, the Republican Party left with Sarah Palin and the birthers. We'll be... Any plans on healthcare?
Computer says no.
No, but they got some birthers. We'll be back with all that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ongoing train wreck aside, I love this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Michael in Los Angeles. We finally found someone toolier than Chris Lavoie. Hello,
hey.
Michael.
Wait, yeah, you know what? Yesterday, I had to actually turn you guys off because Chris was being so tooly. I just couldn't handle it anymore.
Listen.
And I was planning
if I could leave, I would.
You're a big old puss then.
Hey, I was planning on calling in this morning and talking about Chris's tooliness, and then Max Baucus came along.
And out-tooling him.
And he was more tooly than Chris, and I'm just really, really angry this morning. I already called at between 6 and 6.05 this morning. I called Feinstein, Boxer. I called everybody, and I called Max Baucus at 202-224-2651
mm-hmm.
and made sure he heard it from me, and I told him that anybody that runs against him in the primary, any Democrat that runs against him in the primary, is going to get my money all the way from Los Angeles. I'm just absolutely livid at this guy, and,
yep.
I've really had it with these people.
I mean,
they work for us!
Oh, all right. Ooh, he's
exercised.
He's mad as hell, and he's not going to take it
yes.
anymore.
And if you'd like to find out the names and phone numbers of your own senators and representatives to call them and let them know that you demand a public option, we have a link to where you can find that information up in the live blog section of StephanieMiller.com right there, front and center in the homepage.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. The problem with the Republican Party is, A, they are the party of Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
It's quitting time, as you know.
Yes.
Republican operative Mark McKinnon, who coached her during the campaign.
Oh, that takes...
How'd that go?
How would you like that job?
He said maybe she wants to make a lot of money giving speeches. Maybe she wants to host her own TV show. Maybe she wants to start a Barry Goldwater-like movement. Oh.
What? Oh, my God.
Can I just say, I know Barry Goldwater. My dad ran with Barry Goldwater. She is no Barry Goldwater.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Barry Goldwater could string together a sentence.
Yeah. Granted, he didn't come up with things like, we eat, therefore we hunt.
Huh? What? Strong hands can attain our destiny. Under the midnight sun, and exerting power steadfastly, soaring through nature's finest show, and bring everyone to the table. They knew, they know. We eat, therefore we hunt. Merciless, hell-bent, we eat, therefore we hunt. Todd and I,
Todd!
And Trap, Bristol, Trip,
Twig,
Willow, Piper, Trig.
Yeah.
I think I got them all.
Okay.
We will forever be so grateful for the honor of our lifetime to have served you.
Terrible hot dogs.
And bring everyone to the table.
I just grabbed a chunk of moose meat.
We eat, therefore we hunt. They knew, they know. We eat, therefore we hunt.
Oh, she's precious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Todd, by the way, says that she's going to do maybe a little moose hunting.
Oh, golly.
Good. Okay. Oh, gosh. Other breaking news this morning, Chris. Hawaii again declares Obama birth certificate real.
How many times do they have to declare this before people will believe it?
I have seen the original vital records maintained on file by the Hawaii State Department of Health verifying Barack Hussein Obama was born in Hawaii as a natural-born American citizen, said the health director in a brief statement. I have nothing further to add to the statement or my original statement issued in October 2008, over 8 months ago.
Good Lord. Even Bill O'Reilly is pretty much calling the birthers whack jobs.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The House unanimously approved a resolution recognizing and celebrating the 50th anniversary of Hawaii becoming a state. And also, oops, look what they put in there. Whereas the 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama, was born in Hawaii. Although bat crazy Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann did briefly try to block the resolution.
Oh, no.
She stood up and objected. James Inhofe.
How can you object to fact? I don't get it.
Exactly. James Inhofe, the whack job Republican senator.
Yeah.
He said the birthers have a point.
Computer says no.
How do they have a point?
No, it's not an opinion. It is a fact. It is a public document. It is not an opinion. He says, he put out a statement, says, the point they make is the constitutional mandate that the U.S. president be a natural born citizen, and the White House has not done a very good job of dispelling the concerns of these citizens. Oh, no, Senator Inhofe.
You are an idiot!
It's not like the White House has a chart like Senator Inhofe brought onto the Senate floor.
Yeah, that perfect family tree with no...
To display his perfect family tree that had nothing icky in it, like divorce or the homosexuality.
No pink fruit hanging from that tree.
I bet if you shook it hard enough. Okay.
A couple of homos might fall out.
All right. Orly Tights. She claims to be the leader of the birther movement.
Oh, they have a leader now.
Mm-hmm. She is, yes they do. Yes. She's boasting on her blog that she's made some high-profile Republican friends on Facebook. Michael Steele, Eric Cantor, Representative Mary Bono.
Those people, they'll friend anybody on Facebook. They need supporters. Why, there's nothing to boast about there.
She said, to me it means the leadership of the Republican Party understands the important issues and legal cases that I've brought forward. And like me, they are.
Congress people automatically approve friend requests. Because, oh my God, that woman's an idiot.
So when lawmakers go for recess, the Republicans are expecting to have a birther headache at the town hall like that guy in Delaware
did.
Because Orly, by the way, she is an attorney dentist.
That's a specialty.
Mm-hmm. She said, says that people need to start confronting them at all. And we agree here at the Stephanie Miller Show. You need to bring your baggies,
yes,
your birth certificate, your baggies, and go to every town hall and confront your Republican representatives to get on this serious issue for the American people. She said, I believe it's a serious concern. I hope each and every decent American, see if you're not decent.
Okay.
What comes to town hall meetings with a video camera and demands action. Yes, yes, we...
Computer says yes.
Demand action.
At a walk-in meeting in Senator Tom Coburn's Washington office, birthers gave him 9 pages of documentation in support of their claims. Maybe written in crayon, not really sure. Hmm. Maybe there were a little glitter on there and macaroni and stuff. But anyway, the group later billed a meeting a success.
Oh, okay.
On one of the birther blogs. Tom Coburn just questioning Sonia Sotomayor's fitness to sit on the Supreme
Court. That's right.
Court. All right. Oh, dear. It's another episode of Say It Ain't So, Joe.
Darn right. Say It Ain't So, Joe.
Joe Biden, in an interview he gave to an American newspaper, was front page news in Moscow, where his characterization of Russia as a weakened nation hit a bit of a nerve.
Do you blame him?
Biden said Russia's economic difficulties are likely to make the Kremlin more willing to cooperate with the United States.
He told Russia that?
Yeah, he said, I think we vastly underestimate the hand we hold.
Oh, God.
Biden's comments appeared to catch the Kremlin by surprise, and he probably flew there in a closed container. Coming less than 3 weeks after Barack Obama said in a visit to Moscow, the U.S. wants to see a strong, peaceful, prosperous Russia, the White House spokesman downplayed suggestions that Biden was setting a different U.S. policy from that of the president.
Computer says no.
Do you think that when Barack Obama runs again in 2012, he might choose
suddenly choose a
different running mate?
He's gone missing in some sort of
up near Brainerd,
closed container. All right. The Senate Armed Services Committee will hold hearings on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Oh, for the first time since 1993. Yeah, another thing we need to debate, that, what is it, 75% again of the American people think is a ridiculous policy that ought to go bye. As of Wednesday, gay couples in St. Paul, Minnesota may get domestic partnerships. The state capitol joined 2 other cities in that state in approving a resolution that's allowed for domestic partnerships. Equality is equality, said the mayor. You can't have equality for some and not for others.
That's
and thus
awesome.
The term, equality.
That's awesome. Because St. Paul is where they have the Republican National Convention.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. In bad news for the Republicans and good news for America, new home sales jumped in June, increasing for the third consecutive month. Sales of new homes climbed 11%. Yep. Uh-oh.
We broke that news to Maxine Waters yesterday.
Yes, we did. We frequently break news to congressmen, people that startle them.
Yes.
All right. 57 minutes after the hour. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Baker on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.